Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina, and we're jumping right back in talking about the six areas, and we're going to do part two of the emotional aspect of who we are. Let me just recap, and then Chris, I'm going to ask you to tell us what the six areas are. Last time we talked about emotions and all the facts. We talked a lot of facts about emotions, and then we talked about the differences between how men and women deal with our emotions. Chris, why do we talk about the six areas? Introduce them to us.
Six areas of a person. We believe they are spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, educational / professional.
Right.
And so these six areas make up who we are as people, and they all have an impact on each other. And so with mentoring, but just basic relationships, mm-hmm. you can know someone so much better by having conversations about these areas.
Right. So we talked a lot last time in the emotional area just about different examples of what does emotional health look like. And we're going to jump in today, starting with why it's important to talk about and address emotions with somebody you're mentoring. We've spoken when we've talked and unpacked a little bit the six areas that each one of these will affect the others. And that's so true of emotions. Chris, how does our emotions then affect the other five areas when we're talking about the six areas that make up a person?
Well, let's take one that everyone relates to.
Sure.
An emotion of fear.
Okay.
So if my emotion of fear is allowed to control me, okay, mm-hmm. it doesn't just pass through my mind, my mm-hmm. thoughts, but it actually starts controlling me.
Yeah.
In a conversation with someone that I care for instance, like with you,
yeah.
This emotion may cause me to lash out, which actually would impact our relationship. So this has happened before.
Okay.
I've got this fear that hits me. Mm-hmm. It's inside my head.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that's going on.
Sure.
But you ask me something or we're doing something and I say something in a rude tone, cut you off, and you're going, what's going on?
Sure.
That's an example. I believe that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different levels of fear, of course.
Right.
But it's how we express that emotion, mm-hmm. Of fear, in an unhealthy way.
Right.
Another example could be, this is a great reminder. Think about men and women who have served in the military over the years, and they've experienced some really horrible things.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't relate to this because I've not been in the military before.
Mm-hmm.
But your dad, my father-in-law, is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been very quiet, I would say, about his time in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
But PTSD is a real thing for people.
Yeah.
And so imagine you're talking with someone or you're on the street with someone. You're in line at the grocery store with someone. And they treat you with what you would think is disrespect,
mm-hmm.
something could have happened.
Or there could be a trigger, you know, a loud sound or
right,
whatever.
That's what I'm, something could have happened that we're not aware of. And because of the PTSD, that it stirs their emotion and it causes them to act in a way that's not the kindest.
Right. Well, it seems kind of weird, but a mentor really can help a mentee grow in the area of emotions. So let's say that I'm working with a younger woman. I can help her be honest about what she's feeling. So one of the best ways that I've recently just discovered a term called I statements. So encouraging a mentee to say, okay, in this situation, tell me how you are feeling. I feel nervous to talk to you about this. Or when I tell you about a certain emotional issue, I feel weak or immature or whatever. Helping give a mentee language for their emotions is really so, so beneficial. You can also ask questions like, had I had a mentor when I was younger, I would have loved for someone to say, which emotions make you nervous to talk about? Because I repressed anger for years and years and years. Or maybe you could ask a mentee, which emotions are difficult for you to allow in front of others? Years ago, I remember working with a young woman. She said, I refuse to cry. I just won't cry in front of other people. So there was obviously some emotional things going on. Talk about it. Address it. A mentor has the privilege to do that.
Here's an emotion that I would say it is strange for most men to be asked and for them to have the courage to be honest. Chris, are you sad? Someone asked me, Chris, are you sad about this?
Uh-huh.
That doesn't sound very manly to be sad, which is ridiculous because sadness is one of the emotions that we deal with, both male and female
yeah.
alike. And so to be able to say, it feels, guys, it really, talking about emotions, it feels good to be able to say, you asked me, Chris, do you feel sad about this situation? And I can go, you know what? I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being honest. It gets out of my head. It gets out of my heart. And I can able to verbalize it. And it does something in the healing process for me.
Yeah.
To be able to just say, I am sad. I am angry. I am upset.
I don't know how I feel, but I don't know how I feel.
Yeah. To be so honest about it. And guys, we realize we live in this real world, as you do. You cannot do this with everyone.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to know
right.
your true emotion.
Right.
In fact, some people are freaked out by it.
Well, and when we're talking about being honest in your emotions, also be very aware of who your audience is, right? The Walmart clerk doesn't need to know that I'm really struggling with something, right? But my closest people, they do. I need to be honest with them.
You will be able to tell the level of depth of a mentoring relationship when you can ask the mentee, the mentor, can ask the mentee and say, let's talk about your emotion. Tell me, why does this make you sad?
Mm-hmm.
And they can be honest about it. You'll find that relationship with the mentor and the mentee between the two continues to deepen as you can get outside of your head how you're feeling about things.
Right. So this isn't on our notes, but I just had this thought. Sometimes if you're wondering, who do I share my stuff with, right? Sometimes people's negative response can actually be a learning. I'm just thinking back when we had a season, we were just worn out with life and we had taken a sabbatical. We were overseas. We came back home and we were just, there was only a handful of people that we could truly be honest and say, we're done. We're done with life. We are worn out. Sometimes if we would begin to share with certain people, they couldn't handle it. Like, you guys are my rock. Wait, you're falling apart? If you're falling apart, what does this mean for me? So I say that you may very well be very honest with your emotions and somebody can't handle it. That's okay.
It doesn't mean it's you.
It doesn't mean it's you. It just means find somebody who will cover your emotions well.
Be able to receive it
well. Right, right.
And we've been in leadership roles for years. We have discovered that when you're a leader, so if you're a leader in some capacity, you probably have experienced this at some point, because of your role as a leader and how people see you, when you're honest about your emotions, it will bother some people.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you're a leader. Guys, here's a reality check. People are people.
Yeah.
Whether you're a leader in some capacity or not, you still have the emotion. Again, you don't just share it with anyone.
Right.
That's just reality. Mm-hmm. We all deal with emotions, and sometimes it's hard to hear that from certain people.
Okay, let's move on. We talk about honesty and how we're feeling. It will help relationships or hurt relationships. What does that mean?
Oh, I think that's a bigger topic than just for this episode.
Yeah.
But I open up and talk to someone who's mentoring me,
uh-huh.
and I can be honest about it. It gets it off my chest,
mm-hmm.
and that there's trust built.
Yeah.
And then that enhances, that strengthens that relationship. They go, that person knows it about me.
Right.
He didn't walk away. He didn't shame me or guilt me. He just said, Chris, that's normal. Let's talk through it. Mm-hmm. I feel more connected to that guy.
Yeah.
We have a list of different relationships here. Can we go? Is that where you want to go?
Sure.
So let's start. We have God first.
Yeah.
Were you taught to be honest with God in your relationship about how you felt and thought about things?
Boy, that's a can of worms. I would say I was maybe taught that in theory, but I don't know that I was really honest with God. I tried to put a good face, even with talking with God.
Why do you think you did
that? Put my best foot forward, just my personality.
By the way, I think probably a lot of people struggle with that.
Sure.
The more I come to know God, the more I realize He knows me inside and out. He can handle every single thing.
Yeah, I think early on when I was a very young immature Christian, I equated what I heard at church with God. I don't do that anymore. So I got the impression from church, like, you wear your Sunday best. You know, I'm 55. When I was 25, that was sort of the impression of church, at least in my stream. You put your best foot forward. You act like everything's okay. You give it to God.
Even with all these things.
Right. That was the message I was receiving at church. So therefore, that was the message I took into my heart, like, with God, I got to make things. I don't do that anymore. I am just real and authentic. And if I'm hurting, God knows about it. If I'm struggling, if I'm mad at Him, whatever, I'm super just transparent and honest with God.
We believe that God knows everything, right?
Sure.
Okay, so he already knows you're hurting. Right. So has it made a difference for you to be able to verbally tell God that?
Oh, my word, yes. Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
It gets it out of my head and heart, and he knows about it anyway. And I think, again, early, immature, we can unpack that in a whole other podcast, but...
You know, you use the word unpack a lot when we talk on the podcast.
Well, let me unpack that. Okay. But when maybe if I was open and honest with people at church, they maybe responded less than ideal. And so somehow I thought, oh, maybe God's going to respond less than ideal. And so, you know, as I practiced being honest with God, and he still loved me, he still cared for me, I still had intimacy with him, the earth didn't stop rotating on its axis. It's like, oh, God's love really is unconditional. He is faithful all the time.
And guess we realize some of you listening may not have a relationship with God that you can say personal that you understand this. But I tell you what, if you will try it, seek God out, and he is proven faithful, and he will show you, you can express everything to him. He's not going to throw you away. I can express my anger with God.
Yeah.
I've been angry with God in the past about some things, and he's also been able to show me, Chris, your anger is actually distorted, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You're expressing it. This is how I feel. Let's go to spouse.
Sure.
Okay, so you and I have been married for 32 years. Would you say that we were honest in our emotions with one another early on in our marriage?
Oh, heavens, no. I wasn't. I had a hard time expressing anything unpleasant, other than joy, happiness, yahoo. If anything was bothersome, if I was mad, if I was upset, irritated, those emotions were very, very, very hard to express.
I think we've shared this on a previous episode on our podcast before, but I remember early on, and we can laugh about it now, but it was not laughable back then.
Uh-huh.
I would say I could sense something was off.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah.
And you'd say, "Now, Chris, this is just me thinking."
Well, that was after I had 2 days to ponder, like, you've got to say something. And then I would frame, okay, here comes something unpleasant. This is just me thinking, but I feel like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I remember being shocked by it and going, I don't understand.
Right.
That was difficult for me early on in our marriage.
Yeah.
It was difficult. Because I would express probably too much.
Right. And I couldn't express enough just because of our own baggage, right? I had a very conditional, you don't express certain things, and you were like, hey, let's just express it all. Right. We were both very emotionally stunted that way.
We were.
Yeah.
We're a miracle that we know this, that we have the relationship we do today, considering how we started out. As I think back growing up in my home with my parents and siblings, we weren't asked how we were feeling about things.
Yeah.
We were not allowed to express honest emotion.
Mm.
It's interesting when you grow up in that, you don't even realize you're not doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's your normal.
It's
right?
just your normal. Instead of going, you know what? And to be able to say, you know what? I'm angry about this. That was not allowed. I'm angry that we're moving again for the third time this year.
Right.
Or I'm angry that this has happened because of my father's a choice he made.
Well,
that is not wasn't acceptable.
Right. And I think now to our own, we still have an adult daughter living with us. And we've had some conversations. She goes, wow, Mom, when this happens or when you do this, it makes me feel so good. Like, simple example, when I have some of her favorite foods, when I take the time to go, oh yeah, she doesn't like muffins that have fruit in them. She likes the chocolate chip cookies. When I take the time to do that, she so easily expresses, wow, Mom, that makes me feel so known and seen. Simple example, but such a great example of when we can freely express emotions that really helps a relationship. Let's jump into now some references by our good friend, Phil Reynolds.
Let me interject this first, though.
Sure.
We don't have time to go through every relationship.
Sure.
I trust you're listening to this episode. You want healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the journey in getting there is to be honest about your emotion with those people, those relationships, and that they can be honest with you. I don't like to hear it sometimes if someone says, you've made me angry. I don't like hearing that. But if it's honest, I can hear it, mm-hmm. and then we can walk through that together.
Yeah.
So caring about your relationships, emotions are going to be a part of it. They just are.
Right, right. So what are some signs that someone has unhealthy emotions? In part one, we talked about somebody's response. Maybe it's a 50-cent problem and they respond with a $500 response. That would be a good indicator that maybe they have an unhealthy way of dealing with emotions. One resource we just want to remind you of and talk a little bit more of is the concept of emotional intelligence. March 31st and May 19th of 2023, we did two podcasts with Phil Reynolds, and I just want to refer you back to those podcast episodes on emotional intelligence. They are so valuable when we talk about who we are as emotional beings. But one of the things that he talks about, do you have emotional self-awareness? If you're a mentor and you maybe suspect, don't know how emotionally aware my mentee is, you could ask them some questions. So you could say, hey, could you describe what you're feeling? That sounds silly, but sometimes people may not even know, you know, I'm feeling some feelings about this. Okay, what is it? Describe. Well, I find it hard to get up in the morning, and I kind of feel like a pain in my stomach, and, you know, things that I like to do, I don't really have any joy in doing. They may not know. That could be some mild depression. Have them describe what they're feeling.
A really important reason to understand some of these aspects of emotional intelligence, like emotional self-awareness.
Right.
If you're not emotionally self-aware, you are hindering some relationships that you're not even aware of.
Right. I think that's strong, because I think what we're trying to say is, if I'm helping a mentee, she may not be hindering relationships. She may first not even be aware of her own emotions. Will her relationships be hindered? Possibly, but giving her language for her own emotion is so, so helpful. I see what you're saying, right?
Yeah, maybe there's a fine line. If I'm not aware of something in my life,
yeah,
it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Other people are probably aware of it.
Right, but when we're speaking specifically about emotional self-awareness, it's the ability to recognize what you yourself are feeling, your emotional responses, how your behavior or performance is. So I know for myself, I have learned over the years, if I get super freaked out about a schedule, like we have to complete this in 27 minutes, or super obsessive about the house, I'm like, okay, I'm self-aware enough to go, I must be feeling some stress because my behavior is being really OCD with my schedule or my house. So emotional self-awareness is to help your mentee be very aware of what they're feeling, what their behavior is doing in light of, you must be stressed, or maybe you're sad or whatever. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Let's maybe ease some of the stress that you could be hearing from what we're talking about, to learn that maybe you're not as emotionally self-aware as you would like to be. Mm-hmm. Guess what? That's just the beginning to go, okay,
yeah, so it takes practice.
How can I learn that?
A mentor can help you.
A mentor can learn you.
Can learn you. You can learn you how to.
A mentor can teach you how to do these things. But you know what, mentors? You've got to learn it yourself as well.
Right.
Where do we go from here?
Let's talk about emotional self-regulation. So that's the ability to stay focused and think clearly in the midst of powerful emotions. So you could ask your mentor questions like, okay, are you easily irritated by things, maybe other people, or, you know, I think it was in episode one, we talked about road rage. If somebody is responding wildly to road rage, maybe there's some emotional self-regulation that needs
to
happen.
Maybe? something's
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about motivation. Seems like a no-brainer.
Okay, but motivation is the ability to use your deepest emotions to move and guide you towards your goals.
Right.
This ability enables you to take the initiative to preserve,
persevere.
To persevere in the face of obstacles and setbacks.
Right. So how would this show up? Well, if I'm a typically self-motivated person and I have periods of time where my work is I'm underperforming in my work or just not motivated in creative things, that's probably an indicator that something could be off emotionally.
I've experienced this before where I receive a phone call or an email that's not pleasant.
Yeah.
I've allowed that emotion of that unpleasantness to distract me, mm-hmm. and I lose productivity that day.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that's not a typical pattern, mm-hmm. but I know when that's happened before, and I go, I've allowed that emotion or that response and that email or that phone call or that conversation to totally demotivate me.
Well, and sometimes it's a simple question that can really realign things. So again, because we take a biblical perspective on things, I love the concept of in the Old Testament about where there's no vision, people perish. Sometimes if I'm just in a season of life where I don't really know what my goal in life is for that particular, having somebody say, hey, are you clear about the goals for this season of your life? Wow, that can really be helpful. The past few weeks, I've been meeting with some young mamas, and they, all of them, have struggled with, I feel so lost during this season of my life. And just helping them walk through going, well, one, you're a young mama. Your goal right now is just to make sure your young babies are fed and taken care of. But kind of asking those questions can really be helpful for a mentee.
Let's jump to social awareness.
Yeah.
This is the ability to sense, understand, and respond to what other people are feeling.
Yeah.
Honestly, some people
they
don't get it. Right. And imagine, here's an example. We visited a church yesterday for the second time. Mm-hmm. We don't know really anyone there but one couple. We walk in, and I desire for someone to sense, okay, you're new here.
Right. You don't know where the bathroom is or where you sit.
And you're probably nervous. So what if I take it upon myself to imagine how you may be feeling?
Right. You need somebody who's socially aware.
Right. I want to adjust myself to help you.
Right. So an area of social awareness, a great question is, do you find it easy to read other people's emotions? I think we have good and bad examples when people are not aware of what's going on in the room and when people are aware. And let's go to the final one, social regulation. So that's the ability to manage, influence, inspire emotions in others. So are you comfortable talking to anyone? Do you feel uncomfortable when people get emotional? Social regulation is probably missing in today's society, just being aware of that. Were you going to add something to that?
It makes me think of, I've seen numerous interviews and saw one over the weekend where the person is asked some personal questions and they get emotional. Mm. And many times the person getting emotional who's being interviewed, I mean, the interview would not have substance and wouldn't matter if it wasn't for the person being interviewed.
Yeah.
And they apologize for their emotion coming out and being shown.
Yeah.
Which actually doesn't, I understand it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they collapse in the floor on camera during this, but they tear up it's hard for them to speak because they show their emotion. It's interesting that people tend to apologize for expressing their emotion when it's in the public.
So social regulation says that if you're the one watching the person, you know, puddle up, to be patient, to realize they're having a moment. Maybe saying things like, oh, my word, it's okay. Take your time. This has obviously struck some chord. I'm here. You don't have to hurry.
I've had to learn this for many years now. So we get married.
Uh-huh.
We have three daughters.
You're surrounded by women.
No, but I love it. And yet I have had to learn because you would get emotional about something or the girls would about something. And I'm thinking, what is the problem? That's not the best way to respond. Like, what's wrong with you? I was raised that way. What's wrong with you?
Could we say you've had some growth in the area of social regulation?
No, I have. And I think I'm very good at it now. Sometimes I think I read people too well and take it on myself. But you know, to say, you know what? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You don't need to be sad about that. That's a wrong thing to say, guys. Did you want to do a role? Do we have time for the role play?
No, it's not. Yeah, we like to keep these to 27 minutes.
The role play is like, so Chris, where would you say you are now in this? How would you rate yourself?
Right, because we're a mentoring podcast, we always want to give you tools. It'll be in the text, but just to summarize what you would do with a mentee. We've given you already great examples, but you'd walk through the steps with them on their emotional component of themselves. We also want to highlight, we already did Phil Reynolds, the previous two podcasts. But if you would like more information, if you would like a private coach, check out reynoldsconsulting.org. Develop better people, leaders, and teams. That's his motto. That's what he does. He coaches executives, individuals, and teams to communicate better, work collaboratively, and deliver exceptional results. We highly, highly recommend that you go check out his website. He has resources there. Yeah, book him for a team event. He will be an invaluable source to you. Anything else as we close
up? That's been good. Thank you.
Yeah. So as always, thank you for taking time to listen. If you will like and subscribe, share our podcast with somebody that you know. So Chris and Christina, thank you again for listening to Real Life Mentoring Podcast.